This is the first Sunday of Advent, and as we prepare to light the first candle of our Advent wreath, the prophet's candle, the candle of hope, let us be reminded of one of the Old Testament prophets and their hope for the Messiah. The prophet Micah writes, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for you shall come forth for me, one who is to be ruled, the ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from an old, from ancient days." Just as Micah looked forward in hope to the advent of the Messiah, so do we look forward to his coming again. Jesus is the fulfillment of Micah's prophecy. Jesus is our hope. We give thanks for the hope that God promised through the prophets, the hope that sustains us even today. Let us join in this hope of all things being made new.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to All Villages Online. There are times in your life, times in my life, when we don't always feel that God is here. There are times that have been frustrating, whether it be angry, whatever, and you didn't feel God was there. There's been times of really just struggles, grief or loss, and maybe you didn't feel God was there, but God was there. The challenges that you and I face is sometimes knowing that God's presence is here. And it's not just based on our feelings, and usually those fleeting feelings that come and go. But no, it's God's presence is a steady reality. I remember when I was younger, I tried to grasp this concept of God's presence. I remember trying to make sense of it. You know, like I know when I'd go on, like, say, mission trips or serve in various ministry capacities and felt God's presence. And it was wonderful. And I just thought, okay, I have to go over there to do it. And I think, thankfully, I had several friends, great friends and mentors that poured into me and helped me to understand that God's presence, his steady presence, is always a reality. And I hope that you'll know that God is with us everywhere. No matter what, no matter when we remember him and we don't remember him, when we sense him and we don't sense him, when you need to know God is right there. God is right here. He's right here with you when you're stressed or when you're at peace, when you feel overwhelmed, when you are grieving and rejoicing, God is there. When you are depressed or giddy with laughter, God is there. He is with us everywhere, no matter what. And in fact, I just want you to know that in Christ, God joins us. And that's really where Advent's all about. That it's a reminder that Christ came in this world. He came in the past. He's coming to us today, and he will again come in the future. So how are you and I being open to seeing how God wants to help us to know of his presence, that it's a reality? I had a conversation with a family member recently, and they were sharing how they didn't know that God really thought about them. Actually, the words were, I kind of feel God has forgotten me. Like 20 years ago, forgot me. Your beliefs about God matter. What you understand of what God's word teaches us matters. And I want you to know that in Christ, God joins us. He says, I love you this much, and he became a baby. He came in the mess of our lives, in the mess of this world, and he meets us right where we're at. We are literally surrounded by God, that no matter where we're at, even in our darkness, the darkest places, God is there. One day, everything will become so illuminated that we'll be able to see the face of God up and close. I know when I was younger, I thought it was all about striving. I thought it was about me working harder. But it's not about us striving to find God anymore. No, it's about realizing he's already found us, that it's not about us again trying harder, but about us surrendering completely to him. And there are going to still be those days where you don't feel God's presence. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be angry. You're going to have a challenging day. There's going to be things that just don't go well at work or just don't go well with the family. Guess what? God is still there. He's in the mess, and that's good news. But it's nothing that you have to try harder about or really work on. No, it's we need to though be reminded. We need these seasons to help us remember that God is involved. It's easy to kind of live sometimes that God is far off, even when, again, we don't know he has come near. And he has come near. We have to go back to the time when Jesus first appeared so that we can become more aware of his appearing today in our lives, in the everyday moments, in the beautiful and the ugly, that he's there. And he's walking into our mess and helping us with that and through that. He's joining us through the adventures of the mundane sometimes. So don't get stuck in sometimes these feelings. Sometimes, though, there's some real special moments, and it can be at a service. It can be why we serve. It can be between just two people talking and sharing life and maybe praying for one another, maybe sharing a meal together. No matter where you find yourself, know that God is already there and he's ready to meet with us. So we're going to look today for our first week in Advent to look at Mark chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. And if you've been tuning in with us for a bit, we went through the whole book of Mark and actually spent some time on this. But I'm going to have a different take on it for this today, for our time together. So let's just jump into it. And we're going to be starting right where Jesus is getting baptized. Okay? And it's a word with, and I don't want to get too far, so we'll get to it. After this was his message. After me, this is John the Baptizer sharing again about this Jesus. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. He's trying to be crystal clear. He is not the one. Many of us in our own lives try to make a name for ourselves. But there's only one who's got the name of Jesus. There's only one who's got that name. And he goes on to say this, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And this is the beautiful part. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, I love how he puts that, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Wow, right? I mean, can you picture it? I hope you can. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Now, I love that part of the story. I love that part where Jesus is just embraced by God. That he's just poured out, that as he goes through this new movement that John is launching, and he's because of what God's directed him to do, and here's Jesus coming in saying, yes, I'm part of this new renewal, this new movement. It's not about who you were born from or what's your lineage in that, your ethnicity, or your culture. No, it's about surrendering all to God. And in that, this embrace of how proud he is as a papa, God the Father, and just looking down and the Holy Spirit coming upon him. See, his identity was not tied to his lineage. His identity wasn't tied to his mother or father or his status in the community or his degrees hanging on the wall, right? No, his status came from the Father. See, the Father was his anchor. It was what he held on to. It was his root. And for us, we need to understand that there's one truth to lean on when everything else seems to be ripped away. Just like Jesus leaned on the Father, we too need to lean on him as well. There's another translation in English Bibles from the NRSV. And I just wanted to kind of click on it real quick, just kind of check it. Because I just think this word is just something that we don't really use very often. You are my son, the beloved. Okay, it's just a little bit different, okay, than the previous one. With you, I am well pleased. Says the same thing, but that word, that's got teeth. That beloved is so much more than just some nice sentimental word, over emotional, saccharine word. It's not wimpy. No, this is a word that's just, it wants to grab you. It claimed Jesus. It should claim us. This beloved, you are his beloved. Beloved is given to you. And it's not because you've earned it. It's not because you said all the right prayers. It's just for being you. See, the Father made a choice, and he said, I choose you. Take that in. It's not, again, about having it all together, but it's about realizing whose you are. Then you know your identity is secure. You know your future is secure. You know who holds the future, and no one can change that. In the embrace of Jesus, when we embrace him, we can rest in the embrace of God. When we totally surrender and let him have his way with us, meet us where we're at, and help us through the mess of our lives, help us through the thick of it, to know that he says, you are my beloved, and I am well pleased. Not because we're perfect, not because we don't make mistakes, not because we don't even just sin, but because he says, you are my son or you are my daughter, and I love you. You're my beloved. Again, that word's got teeth. See, he is our hope. He is the one. And this week, we focus on the hope of what we know of in Jesus and what he's accomplished and what he's still working in us. It's hope for all who suffer. It's hope for all that maybe don't know that he's a good father. But God is a father who takes care of his own. He knows our name. He actually has more invested in you than you ever could have in yourself. That is amazing. He vindicates. He embraces and ensures justice. He's the one who remembers even when we forget. He is the God of hope. And it's our job to remember that we're the children of the King. There's this wonderful illustration in this great movie with this lion that's known as Simba, right? And you have this Lion King that is his dad, Mufasa, who just, when he's a small cub, just takes him around and teaches him different things and says, oh, see over there? That's all the land. That's our land. He said, well, what about there, Dad? What about there? And he starts going over things. And he helps him, tries to help him understand, I will always be your dad. And I love you. Nothing can change that. Years go by, and his dad, unfortunately, has passed on. Sorry to be the spoiler on that one. But he has a moment where he's reminded again of who he is and who's his father. He's looking into this pond, and as he's looking in it, he sees the reflection of his dad. And at that moment, he realizes, he remembers who is his father. And you and I need to remember who's the King and how we're his. Nothing can change it. He is a part, even when this world's not about his business and about his kingdom, we are still called to be his children. And so I dare you to remember. I dare you to remember who you are and that God is here. Let us pray. Father, here we are, your beloved ones. We receive your words over our lives that we are your beloved children and you are well pleased with us. Spirit of God, breathe afresh these words deeply into our hearts this day and always. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.